Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
The R&B tour starring Usher Raymond and Chris Brown is coming to Northwest Stadium on July 10th and 11th. Tickets are on sale now, a Live Nation show. Keep listening to 105.7 The Fan for your chance to win tickets, courtesy of Live Nation.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZ-FM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
A matchup against the struggling Astros team was exactly what the Orioles needed to break out of their offensive funk. Adley Rutschman got things started last night with an RBI single in the first, and he would go on to add a key insurance run in the seventh with another RBI single. He's now hitting .345 on the season with 13 runs driven in despite spending some time on the IL. The biggest swing of the night came off the bat of Pete Alonso in the fifth when he took Ryan Weiss deep to right field for a two-run blast. It was just his third homer of the month, but came at the perfect time.
I mean, everyone knows how good Pete is, and just for him, it was nice to see him get rewarded for, you know, his good swing decisions and hitting the ball hard. And, you know, he's a leader in this clubhouse and a leader on the field, and so love to see him hit a nice homer today.
There's Rutschman on the power from the Polar Bear. The series against Houston will continue this evening when Chris Bassitt opposes Peter Lambert. First pitch a little after 6:30. And the NCAA is close to finalizing plans to expand the field for the men's and women's basketball tournaments. The current 64-team setup will still be the core of the annual event, but by adding 8 more at-large bids and growing to 76 teams overall, they can create more play-in scenarios leading up to the first round. According to ESPN, a formal announcement is expected in May, and the change will take effect for the 2026-27 season. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, rain expected later this afternoon and throughout the night, highs in the upper 50s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
From the Nest is sponsored by Window Nation. During Window Nation's buy four, get four free sale, you could save big on new windows. Plus, you could get no money down and no payments or interest for 2 years. Sale ends soon, so visit windownation.com now.
Undersized, very, very quick, probably fits best inside. He plays outside, but probably fits best inside. Very sticky in coverage. Again, a guy that tested extremely well. And we've had, you know, success over the years with these type of guys, even going back to, you know, some of my favorite Ravens. Ladarius Webb is a guy that comes to mind.
Ladarius Webb Jr. signed with the Ravens as an undrafted free agent, by the way. That's Eric DaCosta talking about Ravens pick, fifth rounder, one of the two that they had. Defensive back, Vinny. It's NFL Lunch, or excuse me, News from the Nest. Bob, Eddie, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. We're going to mix a draft profile in, obviously. Let's switch back to the defense. Go to Duke University here.
Yeah, Chandler Rivers from Duke, 5'9 and a half, 185, ran 4.4 at the combine, which was the third fastest of the corners, 1.55-10, which is a good takeoff. 29 and 3/8 arms, so he's got short arms. He's not a tall guy. He's not a big guy. 9.5-inch hands. He wore jersey 0. He's a senior. 39-inch vertical jump, excellent. 10-10 broad jump, which is excellent. 2022 at Duke, he was team's rookie of the year. He had 6 starts, played in 13 games, 52 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 1 interception, 6 PBUs, and 1 block kick. 23, started all 13 games, 58 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 7 PBUs, 1 interception, and a touchdown. 2024, third team All-American. Started all 13 games, 54 tackles, 7.5 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 3 interceptions, 1 for a touchdown. 2025, second team all ACC, started all 13 games, 59 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, 2 interceptions, 1 forced fumble, 45 game starter. Now, he was a 3-star recruit coming out, He was second in the state in long jump in Texas, second in the state in the long jump, and he was a 5A state hoops champion. So I'm guessing point guard, which I when I was at Notre Dame and I would, you know, looking for corners, point guard, loved them. Why? Because of their feet and his strengths. He's a good athlete. He's got a burst, good blitzer, makes plays on the ball. He'll hit. He's smart. Reads quarterback eyes well in zone. Excellent awareness in zone. He's got fluid hips. Excellent feet. Good football smarts. He'll tackle, throws body around, competitive, uses hands well to get off blocks. He's got good range, good hands and feet in press, shows strength, good mirror in press, good recovery speed, excellent leaper, takes good angles to the ball, and he plays on teams. Weakness, size, length, average hands catching the football, size and length versus big wide receivers. He'll get grabby. Size tackling versus big wide receivers and backs, narrow frame. Eyes will drift some in the backfield and man-to-man, and he has some problems, you know, with double moves and stuff. Because why? Because his eyes are looking in the back. He's wanting to make a play. In summary, I said, I like this kid's play attitude. He'll be inside corner for the Ravens. He's smart, tough, aware, excellent athlete to cover smaller, quick receivers. We'll have trouble with big wide receivers and tackling big backs. But he's also a real good blitzer. I see him being, you know, covering the slot guy on the inside, and, you know, which most of those are littler, quick receivers. And I think he'll be excellent at that. You can use him to blitz. He's a competitive tackler. He'll try. You know, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he'll throw his body around. And he's super smart. And he's got really good awareness and stuff in zone. So, you know, after I watched him on film, I was like, damn, that's a very good pick. It's a really, really good player. I'd be shocked, Bob, because they don't really have a nickel right now. You know,
a couple of injured guys trying to come back from last year.
But, I mean, you know, like the two kids, Longerbeam, and those kids they drafted last year, this kid's a lot better than any of those.
Lance Erline projected him as a third or fourth round pick. Ravens got him in the fifth. So, size maybe, or you know, with the way the draft board shook out for other teams, had a lot to
do. Well, he's not an outside corner, Bob, and he's small frame. Small frame guy. But he's been a productive player, and he's played a ton.
Staying cornerback, and we know it's Nate and Awuzie and Marlon and, you know, everything that goes along with that. Where's TJ Tampa fitting in?
He's a zone guy, Bob. Year. You know, so he'll have a chance. You know, the way Marlon plays now and the way TJ Tampa play now, they're similar in the way they play the game because neither one, you know, has catch-up speed deep.
Longerbeam and Kone are both coming back from injuries, too. So
yes.
That's a tough gig for them. But so overall, this pick at Duke, you like him. And
I do.
He contributes at the very least on teams, for sure.
Yeah, and Bob, I think it would be tough for him. You know, I don't see, you know, unless they're putting Marlon inside, but Marlon can't handle those quick guys. He'll be able to handle the quicker guys. You know, the bigger guys are going to push him around some, which he'll have some problems with, where Marlon, you know, in the nickel, right, inside, Marlon can tackle in there, where this kid will have some problems, you know, against some bigger guys.
So Chandler Rivers, fifth-round draft pick, one of three the Ravens had this year out of Duke University. Later on in the program, not an hour or so, maybe 45 minutes, Rashawn Benny, defensive tackle out of the University of Michigan. We'll get into him as well. NFL news, though, Bo Nix, quarterback for Denver, team that went 14-3, and he got hurt in the divisional round of the playoffs. Second ankle procedure, but according to reports, they expect like a cleanup job on the first one. Because if he's playing in the AFC Championship game, who knows what happens in that one.
Yeah, because they were playing without. So, yeah, that, you know, anytime you have to have enough, especially a guy that's not that mobile anyhow, you know.
But I will say this. This is my prediction for the Denver Broncos. Even with a healthy Bo Nix. And they could bring Terrell Davis out of retirement and get Carl Mecklenburg in his prime and Steve Atwater. They will not go 14-3.
I'm right there with you, Bob.
And I'd be willing to say they might not even win their division this year.
I hope they don't. I hope they don't. And, Bob, before we run off, let me just bring up something that happened to me yesterday because it kind of pissed me off.
I had to do it.
I was at the Forest Hill at the Planet Fitness, and I've been going there for a lot of years, and I've been to Planet Fitnesses all around the country. And all I do is put my sweatshirt and my key to my car in the locker. And it's not locked, you know, right there. And I had my Carolina Hurricane black sweatshirt, put it in a locker with my key. I go in there at 2:45 yesterday. I was there till like 4:40 and go to get my stuff. Somebody stole my sweatshirt. The only thing is, hey, if you're listening, whoever stole my sweatshirt, piss me off. They got cameras. They're checking out the cameras. You know, so if I got to go and lock everything up with people that I'm going, you know, for 9 years, I've never had to do it. And prior to that, never had to do it. And I've been to Planet Fitnesses everywhere and I've never had to lock my stuff. Shame on you. Totally pisses me off.
Yeah. In a place that you said you're familiar with, and, you know, I'm not accusing anyone outside of you. I don't even know who goes in that place, but you're lucky they didn't take your keys and start going bloop, bloop, bloop and found your car. Then you would have really been up against it.
No doubt.
I guess
no
they just wanted a Carolina Hurricanes sweatshirt.
I guess they did. But they had to have seen me walk in with it and put it in the locker, and they wanted it.
They were casing you out. Please keep us up to date on how this one turns out. Maybe it was someone that you know.
Oh, my pool guy, funny guy, he texts. I'll bring it back today.
888-81057, the Fan. When we come back, buy or sell, let's count the midweek money. Hopefully we got some stuff going on there and talk about sports subjects of this day. There is day baseball. Keep up to date on some scores. Cordell Woodland, talk Orioles and Ravens with him. And then another draft profile coming up later on in the hour. American League East report at 1:15. Both the Yankees and the Rays are on fire in the division. And Rockabacco, massinsports.com. Get a status report on some of the banged up birds. And is Pete Alonso maybe finally sort of coming out of it? And right now, Adley Rutschman and Samuel Basayo are raking behind the dish.
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
We will look ahead to Chris Bassett's start against the Astros. Yesterday, we talked about the biggest problems surrounding the O's. Well, today, we will get into the biggest pleasant surprises. Also, who are the winners and losers player-wise following the Ravens draft? We'll tell you.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying
straight cash, homie,
or selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Buy or Sell is sponsored by Jonesville Air Hyundai. Visit them to buy or sell your car. See Kevin Brammer for a new or used vehicle with over 2 million likes and reviews. You too will be a satisfied customer. Visit BelAirHyundai.com today.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
All right, Woman Crush Wednesday, playing the songs as you choose them. Favorite female artist or bands and request pod sport text line at 410-583-1057. Got tons going on in the world of sports. Orioles and Astros tonight. Birds trying to win the series. You got the Ravens rookie minicamp coming up this weekend. Diego Pavia, Heisman runner-up. He's part of the equation. That should be fun. And you got the Stanley Cup and the NBA playoffs rocking and rolling through the first round. But let's count some dough here as we head into Derby weekend by yourself.
Well, Bob, my phone is all red. The Dow is down 312. The S&P's down 14. NASDAQ's down 58. DraftKings down 33. Under Armour's down 17 cents. So, yeah, we are all red.
Got a week full of grades and evaluations coming out of the NFL draft. When looking at the Ravens class, see a ton of praise for Venga Ioane, but what about the other 10 guys in this year's class? According to CBS Sports and their entire staff grading everything, Matthew Hibner was the biggest head scratcher with a C grade. We know the trend of Ravens tight end draft picks. Not only do they always seem to double dip when they need to take that position, but it's always the second one that ends up being the better NFL product. That doesn't bode well for Hibner, but overall here, also not really part of the grading consideration. It's just sort of a fun fact. But nonetheless, are you buying or selling, Vinny, that Hibner was the worst fit for the Ravens on paper in this year's class?
The worst fit.
Or just doesn't make, you know, I hate to say worst pick because you can't go that far.
It's hard to say till we watch him play. But, Nolan, let me just say this. I like the second tight end better than I like Hibner. You know, Quavis, I like Quavis better. Mm. You know, I mean, when you look at Hibner, he was 4 years at Michigan as a role special teams guy. You know, and Jesse Minter and these guys were there. So they know him. You know, I mean, the only thing is, Nolan, like, his athletic numbers are off the charts, but he doesn't play to those numbers.
Over to baseball here, where Adley Rutschman is making a case to be back in the All-Star game this summer, getting off to an incredible start this year. 345 on the average, 3 homers, and with another pair last night, 13 RBIs on the season. Remember back in 2023, he was in the All-Star mix, but Jonah Heim was your starter that year. Adley got his turn to start in 2024, and last year wasn't even in consideration, while Cal Raleigh got his very deserved shine with his big season. If you go back even farther than that, 2023, we have had 6 different starting catchers represent the American League in the span of 6 years, skipping 2020 for obvious reasons. Gary Sanchez, Alejandro Kirk, and Salvador Perez predated Jonah Heim. Other top guys this year that could be in consideration for the American League starting center, or catcher spot, excuse me, Shea Langeliers with the A's, Ryan Jeffers with the Twins. Buy or sell, Bob, we'll see another new face in that starting catcher spot this year.
Well, the dumper's starting to get hot, and he has 7 homers here in the last couple of weeks or 3 weeks. If Adley's the starter, is that make him new or
no,
old
that'd be
new?
No repeats from this last week. The 6-year run, 6 different guys in 6 years. Can we make it 7?
Yeah. Man. Sanchez, he would be a repeat guy. I'm going to sell that. I think it's either going to be the dump. Keep in mind, it's still a popularity contest to some level. But I think Adley will, if he has months like April through May and June, he's going to be the starting catcher for the All-Star break. So I think it will be a repeat offender, Nolan McGraw.
Yeah, Gary Sanchez, I think it's safely say, National League or American League. Yeah. He's not going to be there.
Back in the Brewers with the Brujas there.
Let's see. Back to the NFL. Bills GM Brandon Bean and new head coach Joe Brady have been trying to publicly build Keon Coleman back up following the comments from their team owner back in January that pretty much buried the kid on the spot. It wasn't totally undeserved because, you know, there was some discipline that needed to be handed out to Keon Coleman last year. He was benched for a few games, being late to practice, but the owner made it sound like he was a lost cause, that nobody even wanted him there to begin with.
I would have never taken this guy.
On-field production for him last year, 400 yards, 4 touchdowns in 13 games. Now, Bean also did reveal that they've received multiple trade calls about the wide receiver, not just at the draft this past weekend, but even going back to the combine and all that stuff. But all the while was adamant in rejecting them, saying that they expect Coleman to deliver his best results to date in 2026. Buy or sell, Vinny, the Bills' lack of interest in trading Coleman had more to do with his low value than their belief in him actually turning things around.
I'll buy that 1,000%, Nolan, because I'm guessing what they were being offered, you know, was probably just a bone. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll take him off your hands because the owner killed him. You know, and here's the thing about it is, he sits in the draft room. So Brady, you know, and Brandon Bean, they've got to pump the guy up because they drafted the guy and they got to make him look good. Whereas all the owner was doing was repeating what he heard in the draft room.
Yeah, and he flashed as a rookie out of Florida State, but last year, I mean, a lot of self-inflicted damage for sure.
Well, he doesn't have to be the guy, which is good. You know, DJ Moore is there to be the one. Shakir looked like a legit number two last year, so you settle in as a three. You know, it was low pressure, low stakes. Let's see, we'll wrap up in baseball here today, where the Mets, we know they lost Edwin Diaz in free agency. Their answer at the closer spot was to give Devin Williams another shot for a turnaround. Remember last year when he left Milwaukee, headed to the Yankees, took a big step back in his career. 4.79 was the ERA, was removed from the closer role multiple times before the schedule came to an end. So far this year, short sample size of only 8 innings, but the ERA is 9. Way too much traffic on the base paths. 2.5 is the whip. He's 2-1 in save opportunities. Buy or sell, Bob, Williams will end up being even worse this year than he was last year.
Well, that's saying a lot, but I'll buy it. He will not be the closer for the Mets when it's all said and done. And Devin Williams has not been the same since he blew that save in the playoffs. I think Alonso hit the home run for the Mets.
That's correct.
That changed that series. And he's got that crazy change up when he's on, Williams that is, when he's on point. But since he gave up that home run, he has been off point. So, yeah, I'm buying it. He'll be worse. And, you know, Mets fans will have some another person to boo if they haven't booed him already. Hey, Bo Bichette went deep last night. That'll call off the dogs a little bit. When we come back, talk Orioles and Ravens with Cordell Woodland from Fresh Take Sports. And, of course, our colleague on the Fan, obviously. And then another draft profile. We got NFL Lunch, American League East Report. Talk about the division, Yankees and Rays. They're on fire right now. And then Rockabacco. Talk about the Orioles ahead of Game 2 against the Houston Astros. What are we expecting from Chris Bassett tonight, weather permitting?
Big Bad Morning Show, Vinny and Haney, Inside Access, live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you miss. 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, everybody, it's Bob Haney here. Are you seeing the prices at grocery stores lately? It feels like the numbers just keep going up. But listen, I don't sweat it because I use Upside. With the Upside app, I get cash back whenever I shop at Giant food stores. And you can, too. Giant's right up the road from me on Crane Highway. It's easy. Simply download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and start earning cash for buying the groceries you're already buying. And if you thought it couldn't get any better, my limited time promo code CHARM15 gets you an extra $10 bonus on your first purchase. You know what's wild? Family of four is spending $1,200 a month on groceries right now. It's incredible. And I saw that number and thought there has to be a smarter way to do this. And I found it. It's called Upside. Don't wait. Download the free Upside app now. Use my promo code CHARM15 to redeem your $10 bonus at any Giant food store. That's promo code CHARM15. Join the real people earning money just for buying groceries. Plus, you can cash out anytime to your bank account or an e-gift card for Amazon or other brands. What are you waiting for? Download the free Upside app now using my limited time promo code CHARM15 for a $10 bonus on your first purchase at any Giant food store. Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Wherever the Orioles season takes you,
say goodbye to this ball!
Download the free Odyssey app and hear reactions to all the biggest moments. Download it today and search 105.7 The Fan. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
Shane Baz has finally earned his first win of the season after holding the Astros to just one run through 5 2/3 last night. But more importantly, he actually got some quality run support when Adley Rutschman and Sam Basayo collected RBI hits in the first inning. Then Pete Alonso came through with a two-run blast in the fifth to create some much-needed breathing room. Here's Baz following the 5-3 victory.
More just pitching to my strengths as opposed to, you know, trying to find holes and stuff like that. Just doing what I'm good at and not being behind in the count, trying to mix it up the best I could. So, yeah, it worked out. Rutch called a great game, too.
And last night in the NBA, the Spurs got the best of the Trailblazers, 114-95, and punched their ticket to the next round in the process. De'Aaron Fox was the closer, scoring 13 of his team-leading 21 points in the fourth quarter and adding 9 assists along the way. They'll now match up against the winner of the Nuggets and Timberwolves series that currently favors Minnesota 3-2. Game 6 will take place tomorrow night. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Play Home Run Riches from the Maryland Lottery. You could win instantly or win cash for Orioles home runs as a contestant of the game. Please play responsibly. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, rain expected later this afternoon and throughout the night, highs in the upper 50s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Got another draft profile coming your way. Looking back at 2026 Ravens draft. Going to Ann Arbor. Defensive line in particular. Stick around for that. Got NFL lunch. 1 o'clock hour. American League East report. Talk about what's going on in the division. Day baseball today, which we'll get into. And then Rockabacco, MassinSports.com coming up at 1:30. But joining us now to talk Orioles and Ravens, Vinny and Haney, Nolan McGraw on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's our colleague, of course, here on 105.7 The Fan. Fresh Take Sports, bringing it to you there. He is Cordell Woodland. Cordell, first of all, what's happening, man? How you feeling today?
I'm good, guys. What's going on?
A little of this, a little of that. We'll start with the Orioles, and in particular, that two-headed monster they have behind the dish with Adley Rutschman and Samuel Basayo. You know, Adley fresh off the IL. He's been Johnny benching it with the bat for sure. And Basayo, after a slow start, kind of doing the same thing. So when you watch these two guys, the way that they're raking, is this sustainable? Because slumps are a reality of baseball. But is there a better catching duo than those two? And I guess Craig Albernez doesn't think that there is right now.
Yeah, I mean, when they're playing like this, it's tough to say that there is. You know, Adley, it was good to see him, like you said, when he came back off the IL, he pretty much picked up right where he left off at the plate. His defense took a day or so to come back. But the bat has been great for Adley, and that's huge considering how the last year and a half has gone for him. Big struggles at the plate, a lot of questions about the player that Adley is. At this stage of his career, and it's still very early. So to see him be able to show consistency with the bat to this point has been great, and Basayo is really caught on fire here over the almost coming up on a week now. He hits the ball so hard. I mean, that's the number one thing. That's been there for him all season, and he was hitting into some bad luck early in the year. But now he's starting to find some gaps, going yard. He just seems comfortable in these high-leverage situations at the plate. It seems like the game is starting to slow down for him, and he's getting more and more comfortable behind the plate. So good things for both of those guys. The Orioles have their warts for sure, but those two guys haven't been part of the problem.
Cordell, you're in that clubhouse a lot down at Camden Yards, and for Pete Alonso, who did hit the two-run jack last night opposite field, it's been brilliant defensively at first base. Did you notice any frustration starting to set in for him after being the gregarious, hey, I'm the new dude, spring training early in the season with the slow start? Did you notice him maybe starting to, you know, maybe not be as effervescent there?
Well, I think naturally it's going to be frustrating. He wants to, you know, make everybody proud. He wants to make everybody feel like he's worth the investment that the Orioles made for him. He understands the reputation that he has, and that's because of the level of play that he has shown throughout his career. So naturally, it's going to be upsetting for him to not be able to produce at the level that he wants to, especially considering this team needs it. You know, they needed Alonso to kind of show more power. And I said this to a media member the other day. I feel like the unfortunate thing for him, there have been times where he's flashed the power early in games and they turned around to lose. And so you sometimes forget about some of the impact that he's made at the plate earlier in the games because they end up losing and he's not able to make another huge impact in the game later on. But yesterday was great to see him kind of get everything started for them offensively with going oppo again. I mean, his power is just unreal. I think yesterday was kind of a reminder that, along with, like you said, he's been so good defensively at first base, to see his offense struggling and the defense not at all, that gives me hope that Pete Alonso will turn it around at some point. Like I said, him going yard again yesterday lets me kind of put my mind at ease when it comes to him. He's not somebody that I'm worried about long term, at least. And I do think it's only a matter of time before he consistently starts to make loud contact.
Hey, Cordell, who was a couple of your favorite of the draft picks from rounds 3 to 7?
3 to 7. Well, number one, Elijah Surratt, he's probably my favorite out of that group. I mean, I just think he's a steal, to be honest with you. He might end up being better than Jacoby Lane. I think as of right now,
stronger and tougher.
Sure. I mean, I think he's consistency too. I mean, you go throughout his entire college career, this dude is a touchdown machine. He's a touchdown machine. He's always been quarterback friendly. His hands are legit. And so that means a lot to me. When you're on a really good team like he was just now with Indiana, he's playing with the best quarterback in the nation who goes number one. He's got this great rapport with him. But you can also go back to his James Madison days and see just that same type of production. I mean, I just think that dude has the tools that will translate to the NFL. And I think he could end up being really, really good for the Ravens, especially kind of in that big slot role. Another guy that intrigues me, if we're talking 3 to 7, Quavez, I'm intrigued really by both tight ends. I'm curious to see which one ends up kind of separating themselves from the other. Hibner is he has this explosiveness with him when he does get the ball in his hands. He's really good at turning up field and kind of going 0 to 100. Whereas Quavis is he's probably more of the total package in terms of the tight end position. I think you can give it to him short range. He's tough to bring down in the flats. He'll fight for extra yardage. He can give you something as a block or two. I just think that they're two different tight ends that both have upside. So I am curious that the Ravens have made a living off drafting tight ends and getting the most out of these guys. I'm curious to see which one will be the better out of the two.
Cordell, you know who's an interesting guy? You know, like when you watch him on film and stuff, and if I was the running back coach, I'd love to be having to coach the guy, you know, Adam Randall, the, you know, Bishotti's pick, you know, because he looks like Derrick Henry and he can catch out of the backfield, and he's only played the position 1 year in his life.
Yeah, you know, and look, I have a little bit of a different take when it comes to the converted wide receivers into running backs. I've yet to really see those guys really, like, fully blossom in the league.
Yeah, they compared him, Cordell, with Cordarrelle Patterson.
Which, okay, that's fair, and he's probably the best of the best when you talk about wide receivers converting into running backs. And obviously he was one of the better return guys in the league. At various points, he was the best return guy in the league. So he had so many he was like that Swiss Army knife that could literally do anything. And as he got deeper into his career, he really started to run with more power and less of the speed factor that he had coming out of college. So, yeah, I mean, if it turns out to be that, sure, it's a win. But you just don't really get a lot of those cases with these converted wide receivers and the running backs. A lot of those guys end up fizzling out or being relegated to simple third down guys. And even that is like, you don't really have a lot of household names when it comes to those types of guys. He's got the size. He definitely has the big play ability when he gets the ball in his hands. He's a willing pass blocker. But history just hasn't been kind to a lot of those wide receivers converting to running back.
Now, Cordell, you know what was interesting? Because Eric mentioned it in our pre-draft luncheon about the age. I mean, Cordell, they took I can't remember which guy it was. He was drafted in 01. Evan Bernstein, he played 6 years at South Dakota State and then 1 year at Northwestern. You know, so they've got everybody other than Jacoby Lane is a minimum 4 year senior. Minimum.
Yeah, and that's weird, right? Yep. I mean, you're not used to seeing that happen. I mean, look, even in basketball, like, don't get me wrong, you still have a lot of these one-and-done guys going into the draft. I don't know if that'll ever change. But the landscape of college basketball even has gotten older, whereas maybe 5 to 6 years ago, it was all about getting the top freshmen in the country, getting all these young guys. And football has changed in that regard, too. You know, it used to be you wanted these three-year guys, these juniors that are coming in with the high upside. But now you're seeing more and more of these, especially the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks mm-hmm. are staying now. They're coming in older. I think the NIL mixed with the everything that went on with COVID and these guys getting extra years of eligibility, it's kind of the perfect storm. So the trade-off is you get – more of an understanding of the type of player you're getting because you have more of a sample size of them in college and them getting to mature at that level and going up against older guys themselves. You kind of have a better understanding of the player that's coming in there and there are less questions. So, yeah, I just think that this is where we are in today's sports landscape. Can't even just say it's simple as football. It's all over the place.
Yeah, and the motivation to stay is greater too, because why should I go to the NFL when I get $5 million?
Yep.
Sit around here. Cordell, when's the next Fresh Take Sports?
Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow from 6 to 8, so Orioles have some day baseball. We'll see if they're able to play today. I don't even know what'll happen if they don't play today, so we'll see. But they are scheduled to play tomorrow during the day. I don't think the forecast looks the way it does today, so we'll talk a lot about that. Of course, we'll recap the draft, NBA playoffs. We'll have some eliminations, more eliminations, I should say, by tomorrow, I would imagine. So we'll have a lot to get to.
Yeah, whatever the Orioles do, do it quickly. That's all I'm saying right for today.
Haney's having a doubleheader that starts tomorrow at noon.
Yeah, go 12:30 to play a traditional doubleheader because Houston goes to Boston and the Orioles go to New York and they're both off tomorrow. I mean, we're an advanced society. You can figure it out for sure. Cordell, we appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys.
There's Cordell Woolen, everyone. When we come back, reset the program for you. We got a draft profile coming up, NFL lunch style, going defensive line out of the University of Michigan. Speaking of Boston, the Red Sox, significant injury in their rotation. We'll talk about that when we return.
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
We will look ahead to Chris Bassett's start against the Astros. Yesterday, we talked about the biggest problems surrounding the O's. Well, today, we will get into the biggest pleasant surprises. Also, who are the winners and losers player-wise following the Ravens draft? We'll tell you.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
If you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, you have to be fired up today after round one of the NFL draft. Not only keeping star receiver George Pickens, who signed the franchise tag, you get Ohio State safety Caleb Downs, an absolute stud. You draft pass rusher Malachi Lawrence at 20th overall, so you keep the star receiver so the offense is going to cook, and you add two players to this defense. I think Dallas will win the NFC East this coming season. I'm Nick Costos.
The Vinny and Haney Show, sponsored by Valor Roofing. Trust your home to Valor.
All right, I'm here, man. Woman Crush Wednesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Got the NFL lunch coming up, draft profile. Talk defensive line out of University of Michigan. Now, is he 40 years old, too, this guy we're talking about, or no?
Bob, he came into school in 21. He's a redshirt senior.
21, man. That was, let's see here, that was 5 years ago, according to my math.
So he's probably 23 or 24.
Yeah, well, it brings a veteran presence to the equation. And we'll talk about that. American League East report at 1:15. And Rocco Bacco talking Orioles and Astros. And Chris Bassett tonight. Got to get him straightened out. That's coming up at 1:30. But speaking, we'll tease a little bit. American League East, our buddy Bob Nightingale, future Hall of Fame baseball writer, with USA Today, tweeting this out or Xing it out, whatever the hell it is. Nolan, Garrett Crochet, left-hander who threw six shutout innings against the Orioles Saturday past. 15-day IL, left shoulder inflammation.
Ooh.
Now, he's already had Tommy John surgery. Had that when he was with the White Sox. Remember, he was part of the draft class that Heston Kerstad was in. The number two pick in the draft. And Crochet, if memory serves, that was the expanded playoff field. I think Crochet was pitching in the playoffs for the White Sox that year. But he had the Tommy John. Was getting hammered this year. Like, lit up. His earned run average was well over six going into that matchup with the Orioles. But looked good. Oriole bats were relatively quiet that day, only scoring one run. But maybe now we know why he was off to a bad start. So Nolan McGraw, the Red Sox, who, you know, had stabilized a little bit. They lost last night, which we'll talk about during the AL East report. Lose a guy that is arguably one of the, when he's on his best, one of the five best pitchers in Major League Baseball. And they traded your boy Mydroth, Boston did, to get him. Or is it Mydroth? Mydroth?
I won't bother to learn it. You have no business knowing anything about him.
You're a dude, but Crochet's a stud, and he was a Cy Young candidate last year as the Red Sox made the playoffs. But this is kind of stunning turn of events as being reported here on the interweb that this one kind of came out of nowhere. So Garrett Crochet, coming off the best start of his season, he's on the IL 15 days and shoulder inflammation. That doesn't just go away with a couple of Advils and an ice bag. So the new manager for the Red Sox just lost his ace for, looks like, foreseeable future.
Right, and pitching is supposed to be what carried them all season long, right? That's where they made all their investments. Offensive side of things, you could argue that they subtracted and didn't replace. You know, Bregman losing him, did they really recover from that?
Nope.
No. So, I mean, it doesn't mean they can't be good offensively, but they're GM, all their front office decision makers flat out said, they're like, yeah, we're building this team to be pitching heavy and for that to carry us. And lawyer, early season, Crochet, you mentioned the struggles, even if he's healthy, it wasn't getting it done. You know, it's nice if a guy like that early kid who carved up the O's on Sunday, maybe he can turn into something, young rising star. But there's a lot of guys that have been underwhelming for them.
Yeah, Sonny Gray hurt his hamstring a couple starts ago. Ranger Suarez got off to a terrible start, but he pitched really well a couple of nights ago. Well, a guy that I would have loved the Orioles to make a run at, and apparently they did. You know, I'm not calling them liars. Apparently they did, but he wound up signing with Boston. So big news coming out of Fenway Park as Garrett Crochet going on the 15-day IL with shoulder inflammation. Now, is it a labrum? Because we saw with Albert, not Suarez, the mountain. Whatever shoulder, he tore his rotator cuff and he had the labrum, had the surgery back in August, and he's kind of fast-tracking to maybe pitching this year. And back in the olden days, as Tommy John's surgery became more sophisticated, you had Tommy John, you missed a year, and you were usually back, sometimes better than ever. If you had a shoulder problem, you were toast. I mean, Chris Tomlin, if memory serves, his shoulder went out at the end of 16, and he never recovered. Mark Fidrich's career ended because of a torn labrum, because he adjusted his delivery because he screwed up his knee shagging flies down in spring training. When you had the torn labrum or rotator cuff, that was usually stick a fork in you, your toast. At the very least, you're losing velo. Frank Tanana, another old guy pitcher, used to throw 100 miles an hour. Him and Nolan Ryan bringing the smoke back-to-back days. He tore up his shoulder, reinvented himself as a puss bowler, and lasted 20 years in Major League Baseball. But was a flamethrower. His famous line, in the 70s, I threw in the 90s. In the 90s, I threw in the 70s. So Crochet is a dominant pitcher for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, the medicine, right, the medical side of things has improved drastically, but also the rate at which these guys throw, the frequency, the heavy handedness to it, if that's the right word. I mean, it's max effort, right? Nonstop.
No doubt.
So sure, right, the surgery's better than it used to be. The recovery, the rehab and everything, it's way more advanced. It should be in line to have you back sooner. But for a pitcher in that shoulder, how can you go out there? One, you're on the shelf for however many months. You're not throwing in general. And then when it's time to get back out there, have to tell yourself, okay, dial it back. I mean, that's like, it's impossible. You know, for these guys to have that restraint, that's all they know is max effort. And then if you're going to go that route, then you're more prone to re-injury and aggravation.
And by the way, we're not saying that's the issue with Crochet right now, but it is shoulder inflammation. And getting back to Felix Bautista, you know, I don't want to be a bummer here, but if he does return, and it'd be great if he did, he's not throwing 100 miles an hour anymore, I wouldn't think. He's had Tommy John and now shoulder surgery. If he throws 100 miles an hour, he should be like, they should make a TV movie about the guy. Climb any mountain.
That's pretty good.
You know what I'm saying? I'm trademarking that. And don't be stealing it like somebody stole Vinny's sweatshirt yesterday at Planet Fitness. We'll come back. Draft profile. Go to Ann Arbor. Talk about a defensive lineman. University of Michigan. American League East report at 115. And then Rockabaca. MassinSports.com. Talk about the Birds of Baltimore. Chris Bassett. His arm's not hurting. His feelings have been hurt a lot, though.
This is BJ Surhoff. You're listening to the best Orioles coverage on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.